coming Wednesday, April 14th, and Thursday, April 15th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 14th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 15th. Issues Etc. 24, Wednesday, April 14th, and Thursday, April 15th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
There's this amazing story that's recorded in only one of the Gospels, where after the resurrection, and it seems so strange in a lot of ways, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples, and there is a great catch of fish. And there is Jesus, raised from the dead, sitting on the seashore as the dawn comes up, with a fire, ready to cook some fish for his disciples. It seems like a rather mundane thing for the risen Christ to do. Joining us to talk about a miraculous catch of fish, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Based in St. Louis, CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. It's great to be back. This is one of my favorite Sunday school stories, and I think of it as the first Easter breakfast.
By the way, thank you very much for stopping by the other day with Kim Vicker just to say hello. It's nice to see your face occasionally.
That was a great way to kick off our weekend getaway. We had a great time and came back all refreshed, and it was all good.
So you said this was your favorite. Why is this particular account of the breakfast, the catch of fish, yours?
Well, it's one of my favorite Easter accounts. It's not one of the ones that I remember from my childhood. It's one that it caught me when I was older. And, you know, you hear about the Emmaus disciples, you hear about the women at the tomb, you hear about the Thomas thing. And this one was one that I wasn't so familiar with, and I just think there's so much in it. And to see our Lord, our risen Lord, preparing breakfast for his disciples, still serving his children, and he refers to them as children in this text, and still having concern for physical things, not just spiritual, not just eternal things, but still providing and caring for his children in very ordinary ways, preparing breakfast on a charcoal fire. I just think it's a really neat Bible story and a really neat glimpse of Jesus, the Savior, who saves us for all eternity, but who doesn't leave us alone in our day-to-day lives and the needs that we have and that kind of thing. It's just a great lesson.
Tell us the story.
Well, sure. It's very short. It's in the 21st chapter of John, and it's in the last chapter of his gospel, and it's the third of three times that Jesus has appeared now to his disciples following the resurrection. So that's kind of interesting, too, that Jesus make sure they see him and know that he is alive. And in this, they're out by the Sea of Tiberias. That's also the same as the Sea of Galilee or Lake Gennesaret, depending on where you stood on the shore was what you called that body of water. And so Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing, and they go with him. They go out, and of course at night, that's the time to fish, and they catch nothing. And then verse 4 tells us, as day was breaking, Jesus is standing on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So here's another post-resurrection appearance, like the men on the Emmaus Road, don't recognize him at first. And here's where he calls them children. Do you have any fish? And they tell him no. And he simply tells them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. They do what he says, and now so many fish, later we learn 153, that they can hardly haul it in, just so much after a night of nothing. And there we have the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Finally, John recognizes it and proclaims, "This is the Lord." And Peter, like he always does, so impetuous, throws on his garments and jumps in the water, eager to reach Jesus. And the rest of them come in the boat, dragging this full net of fish. And they get there, and they see he's got a fire going, and he's got fish on it and bread, hearkening to some other times when we have fish and bread in the Bible stories with Jesus. And Jesus says, "Come and have breakfast." And none of them, it says, asked, "Who are you?" They knew now that it was the Lord. And he takes the bread, and he gives it to them, and so with the fish. And then John tells us this is now the third time that Jesus revealed himself to the disciples. So that's the story, a few short verses, and really quite an event.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what it all means, why Jesus is doing this. I think Pam hinted at something very important. This is Jesus, even glorified, even risen from the dead, even conqueror of death, crucified and raised again, still serving his disciples. You know, he could be asking them to serve him, but that's not the way this risen Jesus worked then. It's not the way he still works even now. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're going to talk about the miraculous catch of fish a little bit more in this hour of Issues, Etc. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? We're preparing for a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. on Wednesday, April 14th and Thursday, April 15th, and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8384. Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is the week, actually counting down the days, the hours, and the minutes, up to Issues Etc. 24. It's a 24-hour live broadcast of Issues Etc. Now, you're getting a little taste of it right now. One of the main features of Issues Etc. is good, solid Bible study, and that's what we plan to do during those 24 hours of live broadcast, starting Wednesday, April the 14th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Central Time, until Thursday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Central Time, April the 15th, a full 24 hours of live Issues Etc. Bible study. We're going to fill that with two-hour blocks of Bible studies of various books of the Bible like Revelation, 1 Corinthians, Romans, Genesis, and many others with our very best guests during all those 24 hours. We want you to listen. We should tell your friends about it if someone's never heard Issues Etc. This is a great way to introduce them to Issues Etc. You can listen live at our website, issuesetc.org, and tell your friends about Issues Etc. 24 coming up Wednesday this week, the 14th of April, beginning at 4 o'clock and running through Thursday, 4 o'clock, the 15th of April. By the way, you can find out more by going to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find a YouTube video that tells you all about Issues Etc. 24. Okay, you've told us the story, Pam. What does it mean that Jesus does this with? I mean, he could do so many things with his disciples post-resurrection. They're in Galilee. They're doing what they do. They've done it rather unsuccessfully all through the night, which is appropriate for fishermen of that time. And then Jesus shows it up at dawn at the end of the workday, by the way. I mean, when the whistle is blowing and they're getting ready to probably go home and go to bed after fruitless fishing, and says, go back out and do it again.
It's really something that he does this thing, meets them on the shore, and calls them out. And it's, I think, significant the people who were there. You've got Simon Peter, the one who denied Jesus. You've got the sons of Zebedee who fought over who would be at his right side. You've got Thomas who doubted if he was alive, had to see and touch. You've got Nathanael, who at the beginning of Jesus' ministry doubts that anything good can come out of Nazareth. So you have quite a band of, maybe you could say, misfits who had trouble getting it, had trouble believing, had trouble seeing who this Jesus was and what he was for them. And here you now have Jesus risen, as you said, glorified, willing to eat with them and continuing to share his fellowship with them, providing for them really unconditional love, forgiveness, and mercy in spite of their past sins, in spite of who they are, in spite of that they really aren't very good fishermen either. And there's some things there for us to learn and to point out to our children. This risen Jesus is, he's our Lord too. And we are just like those seven disciples. We fail as his children. We sin. We don't live as God would have us live. We don't often get it right. And this Savior is our Savior. And he continues to care for us, to forgive us, to feed us, both physically and spiritually, to provide for us all that we need. And that's a beautiful lesson in this. And the fact that, you know, Jesus does this in simple ways, you know. Once again, we're always looking for the great and the grand, as the disciples often were, as God's people all from the beginning, looking for the big fireworks show to see that God is amongst them. Here, Jesus does it with a simple charcoal fire and some fish and bread. And in that, shows his love and care for them.
It says something kind of puzzling. It says none of them dared ask who he was. They knew it was the Lord. Why should this even be a question?
Well, you know, at the beginning of the story, they don't know. They don't recognize him there on the shore. It takes a little while. And perhaps they're feeling a little sheepish that they didn't recognize him, that they didn't get it, and they're not going to ask. And now it's obvious. He's commanded them, and he's done this miracle, and now they've come ashore, and they can see him face to face and up close, and know that he's their Lord. And they're not going to admit that they wondered about it. But he's once again revealed himself through a miracle, through who he is. And that's something, you know, this text is in John. That's something that John spends a lot of time in his gospel talking about, Jesus manifesting or revealing himself to people, doing, you know, the signs and things. And even just before this, in the end of chapter 20, the last two verses say, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name."
You talked about this before, but expand on it if you would. And you mentioned it several times that Jesus calls them little children. And I can only think, I mean, in John's gospel, it may happen once or twice elsewhere. Certainly is what John the Apostle adopts as a way of referring to believers. What's the fullest understanding of that, especially since we consider the fact of teaching this to, literally, little children?
Well, that's a great question. In our sinfulness, we adults don't want to hear that. We don't want to think of ourselves as little children. We want to think of ourselves as quite capable, quite in control, quite able to handle whatever comes our way. But the picture here of little children, children who rely on parents to feed them, to protect them, to shelter them, to care for them, it's that same picture that Jesus, he wants us to be little children with him, not to trust ourselves, our efforts, our thinking, our abilities, but to look to him and to our Heavenly Father for all that we need, and to pray to him, to trust, to believe, and to understand that all that we have in this world and the next is gift given by a loving Heavenly Father, by a loving God who sent his Son to die for us on the cross. And little children get this, and we can really, in our lesson Sunday, help them see why this is so important to Jesus, that even adults see themselves as little children who rely on a loving Father in heaven.
Is this a good time to make the kids mindful, with only about a minute here, of baptism, wherein we are called children of God and made children of God?
Well, that's right. It's a great time to tie that in, that that water's poured over us and we're given Christ's name and we are made children. We are brought into the family. And not only baptism, but to point them to this feeding that goes on at the altar, the body and blood of Christ. Not only are we made children, but he makes us part of the family and feeds us on himself. And you have this beautiful picture here that the early church understood, the idea that we're the disciples catch men alive, and the net is the word and the sacraments, and that's a strong, sure net. It's a net that will never break, that pulls people in and brings them into a boat that will never sink, and that boat is the church, the Holy Christian Church. And all of that comes out in this story. It's a beautiful picture of God doing the work, God bringing men into his church, God providing for his children, feeding them in all their need, physically, spiritually, for now and all eternity.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ, and they'll send you free samples of that curriculum. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about Growing in Christ at our website, issuesetc.org. Pam, thank you very much for being our guest. I just heard from someone yesterday who said how much they appreciate our conversations on the air. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It is a real joy, something I look forward to every week.
Well, I want to hear from you in the next couple days. Our Issues Etc. comment line is always open for you all the time, and I want you to call it 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384, and answer this question, very simple. Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? We want to be able to hear and play some of your comments during Issues Etc. 24 coming up later this week. Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? Give us a call on the comment line and leave your answer to that question, 618-223-8384. You can call in the middle of the night. You can call early in the morning. You can call anytime you want. It's always there, 618-223-8384. Why do you listen to Issues Etc.? When we come back, Wendy Wright will join us. We're going to talk about a battle over sex education in Juneau County, Wisconsin. She's from Concerned Women for America. Mark Hemingway, editorial page writer of the Washington Examiner, will be with us after that to talk about this weekend's Southern Republican Leadership Conference, live this Monday afternoon, April the 14th. And then we'll round off the second hour talking about fatherhood and the shifting definition of parenthood. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. Hour two of Issues Etc. is straight ahead. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.